Let's all stand for our final hymns prior to the message tonight. Hymn 10. And I think I figured out what I did wrong with the disc here. We had the right songs, but the wrong set. And we're going to sing all three. We're leaning. Amen. We're leaning on the everlasting arms. That's the best place to be. You guys are going to fire me here. That's odd. Wow.
27, you can play.
Can you believe that?
The Lord wants it. Follow the Lord.
Just give us.
Yeah, I would, but the words don't line up.
But it's a 227, Rock of Ages.
Yeah, I know, but the words on the disc don't line up with the words in the book. That's why we can't sing that one.
Somebody's trying to take away your power, preacher.
Yeah.
You can never do that.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you what.
They can wing us.
177.
Sure?
No.
What are we on now?
177.
One of you all sabotaged me tonight, huh? 177, and first, third, and fourth, we hope. It sounds good. We that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in the song with sweet accord, join in the song with sweet accord, and thus around the throne, and thus around the throne. Oh, marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion, we're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God, the hill of Zion. A thousand sacred sweets before we reach the heavenly fields, before we reach the heavenly fields. Walk those golden streets, oh, walk those golden streets. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. And let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. Fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, beautiful city of God. Amen. Amen. We're marching, church. Please be seated. And does anybody need a pew Bible? We have extra Bibles. Raise your hand. Anybody? All right. We'll sing again after. Let's grab our Bibles tonight. Open up to the book of Revelation. Revelation, and we're actually going to pick up the text in chapter 6, reason being, what I have planned for you all, I said I had a surprise tonight. What that surprise is, we're going to complete our cycle of prophecy teachings. We're not going to go through the second coming, the millennial kingdom, the eternal order, and all that again. We've done that. Well, what we're going to do, welcome, ma'am, come right in, praise the Lord. What we're going to do is we're going to go through the tribulation period itself. We're going to stop when we get to the second coming, because the second coming series completely covers that. And then folks, particularly around the world that are listening in, will have a complete set of prophecy teachings through the book of Revelation. All right, now, tonight for the sound guy, tribulation period. The tribulation period part one. Beloved, as we approach this incredible topic tonight concerning the coming seven-year period of time known as the tribulation, it is important to note the chronological sequence of events leading up to its commencement. In chapter 1 of Revelation, we have the vision of the glorified Son of God. John sees Jesus, amen? And he's totally floored, literally floored, falls on his face before him and just incredible vision of the Lord. This indicates that Jesus Christ has ascended and has entered into his glorious position in heaven above after his resurrection. Then we find in chapters 2 and chapters 3, we have the seven churches. Now these seven churches, prophetically, remember the book of Revelation is a prophetic book. And what it did is it was written 2,000 years ago. And it pointed to seven periods of time throughout these 2,000 years in which we've lived. The church age, the church age dispensation. Sadly, the last church named is Laodicea, the Laodicean church. And as we know from Scripture, the Laodicean church was lukewarm. And the Lord said, I will spew thee out of my mouth, for thou art neither hot nor cold. So this is what we find in the first three chapters. The vision of the glorified Christ and then the dispensation of the church age. Now something incredible takes place in the fourth chapter of the book in verse number 1. Look with me here in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1. I'm not going to take the time, as I have done before, preaching verse by verse through the first three chapters. Very time consuming, and basically it's a chronology prophetically of the church age. Okay? There was the Philadelphia church is what we strive to emulate, the Church of Philadelphia, because they kept his word. Amen? People are trading in the word today for perverted Bibles and nonsense and the teachings of Shirley MacLaine and the New Age movement. We're sticking to the old Bible. Amen? Glory to God. In chapter 4, in verse 1, now this would, prophetically, chronologically speaking, would be the first verse after the period of time known as the church age. And it says, after this I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet. Sound familiar? A trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must take place hereafter. Now, notice here in verse number 1 that John, the beloved apostle, who is a type of the church, is being caught up into the third heaven. Amen? He's going to see everything that God is going to do in the end of days, which we are living in the last days of the last days, folks. We're so close to this rapture of the church. I'm so glad that you and I do not have to go through the reign of Antichrist, the tribulation period. If we're trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior from sin, we're going to be raptured out before all that nonsense takes place. That's judgment upon the world, the Christ-rejecting world, not His believing people. He will save us from the hour of temptation that will come upon all the world. Now, before Jesus Christ assumes His kingly position upon David's throne in Jerusalem, amen, which He will, there must be a national acceptance of Him, Messiah, by who? Israel. The elect nation is Israel. Israel tonight is in a state of unbelief. Okay? Israel is not pleasing God today because they have not received Jesus Christ, His Son, as you and I have. So God is going to arrange things to cause His elect nation, the Jews, to accept His Son. It's going to take 7 years to break their stubborn will. But He will. We know from Scripture that they will receive Him at the end of the tribulation period. So, What we have here, in order to gain a national acceptance of Messiah by the elect nation, there will be a time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob, that's Israel. There will be Daniel's 70th week. It's a week of years, 7 years, called the tribulation period. Notice the sequence. Chapter 1, Jesus Christ is in his mediatorial office as our great high priest, presenting his blood to the mercy seat of God. Amen? I'm so glad tonight that my sins are forgiven because of his shed blood. Amen. It's not because of anything good that I do or could do. It's because of his work on the cross for me. Amen? And he is presenting that blood on the mercy seat of the Father in heaven now for you and me. Now, this is his mediatorial office. But remember, Jesus Christ holds three offices. Prophet, when he was here on the earth, he was a prophet. He told us things to come, right? Right now, he's a priest. He's making intercession for you and I. But his third office is what? King. He's coming back this time, not to die on a cross, but to assume his kingly position in Israel on the throne of David. He'll rule the world for 1,000 years. But prior to this occurring, his elect nation must cry out to him for salvation as you and I have done. And they will. Indeed, they will. In chapter 4, we have a picture in verse 1 of that rapture of the church. And in chapter 19, verse 14, the church is mentioned again. But nowhere in between is the church mentioned. Between chapter 4, verse 1, and chapter 19, verse 14. Why?
Because we're not going to be in church.
That's right. The church is not there. Chapters 4 through chapters 19 show us the 7-year period of tribulation on earth, where Antichrist reigns. The church is not there. If she was, God's Holy Spirit would mention us and tell us what to do. We're in heaven with the Lord because we've been raptured out. Now, in chapter 5, John sees the Lord Jesus with a sealed book. Look at chapter 5. He has a sealed book in his hand. He's getting ready to open the 7 seals of that book. And when he does, all hell is going to break loose on planet Earth. Mark her down. It's going to get real nasty. If you think things are bad today, and they are, hold on, buckle your seatbelt, because it's going to get a whole lot worse when the Antichrist comes on the scene. Now look at chapter 5 in verse 11. Don't miss this. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, these are angelic beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. It's the church. She's in heaven in chapter 5 because she's been raptured out. Look at verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth. You know this thing's under the earth?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a place called hell, and it's in the center of the earth, according to the Bible. And such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. That's a good thing to do. Amen? People don't worship him these days. People have forgotten about Jesus because he's gone to heaven and out of sight, out of mind. But he's alive and he is active in this world, still saving souls. Notice here, though, that as the tribulation period is beginning on earth, in heaven they're worshiping Jesus Christ. Amen? Hey, I don't know about you, but I'd rather be up there worshiping the King of Kings than down here on earth under the reign of the Antichrist. Brother?
Here's a question. So all these preachers who preach that believers are going to be going through the tribulation period, where do they miss the mark in that passage right there?
Oh, you mean as far as not being saved?
Post-trib, where do they get the idea that we're going to be here?
Oh, you're talking about those who believe the church is going through the tribulation period?
Yeah,
it's just, it's false doctrine. They do not understand the scriptures correctly because they're not premillennial dispensational. If you're not premillennial dispensational, your whole system of theology falls apart to pieces, and it makes no sense. You see? So that's a whole other message, though. There are many that believe that. Good point.
He's trying to figure out where they missed Mark if they're reading that.
Oh, there's a number of verses that... Here's what it is, brother. Quickly. There's a number of verses that speak about holding out faithful to the end. And those verses are accurate doctrinally for those people who will be in the tribulation period. During the tribulation period, you have to hold out faithful to the end to be saved.
Yeah.
Right now, you just have to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's simple. But that's all going to change. What they do is they take those passages of Scripture out of context and try to apply them to the bride of Christ, who is eternally secure because of the finished work of Jesus. You see? Yeah. Yeah, it's clicking. Amen. Now, notice here, as the tribulation period on earth is beginning, the saints in heaven, you and I, are worshiping the Lord. Now, tonight, in our introduction message to the seven-year period of time known as the tribulation, I want us to examine three aspects of this time period: the names of the tribulation, the purposes of the tribulation, and the general descriptions of it. First, some names given in Scripture to the tribulation period. Now, the most common name used in the Bible for the tribulation period is the term the Day of the Lord. Whenever you see the terminology the Day of the Lord, it's speaking about the wrath of God falling upon planet Earth, the Day of the Lord. And we see this expression over and over again in the Bible. This term is always, without exception, used in a negative context. It's not a good thing, because God's wrath is falling upon the Christ rejecters of this earth and upon his elect nation Israel in order to bring them to repentance, you see. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. We'll see this terminology. In both testaments, old and new, you have the Day of the Lord mentioned over and over. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at it. But of the times and seasons, brethren. He's speaking about the second coming. Okay? What did he just touch on before verse 1 in chapter 4? What did he just tell the people about concerning the what?
The rapture.
Rapture of the church. You see that? The rapture of the church is in the last part of chapter 4, right? So the context is going to be the tribulation period, the Day of the Lord, right? Watch it. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the what? Day of the Lord. You see it? We're in verse 2. The Day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, let me ask you a question. What does a thief come for?
Steal.
To steal something. To take something away. Right? It says the Day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Because Jesus is coming to take something out of this world. And when we disappear, the whole world's going to... I can hear Wolf Blitzer on CNN now. I wonder where all these people disappeared to. We got raptured, buddy. Wake up. And just like the Bible said, look at it. The Day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, who is the they of verse 3? That's the lost of this world who don't know Jesus as Savior. When they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Notice that. These people who reject Jesus Christ today, and they go on and they, oh, we're driving to church tonight. Oh my, oh my. We're driving to church and there's a homosexual gay bar on Elm Street. Unfortunately, we have to drive by this abomination to get to pick up a few of our folks. And when we drove by there, Orange Street was blocked off by the Manchester police. You know why?
Pearl Street.
Why?
Gay parade.
And I look over and I looked again and there was a bunch of guys in dresses, dressed like women with wigs and high heels. And they're all up there getting drunk. And I look over and the officer just looked. The officer that was preventing me or anybody else from going down that street, he just looked at me like, you know. You know what that is? If I try to hold a revival meeting on Pearl Street and ask the cops to shut it down for me,
right,
they'll laugh me out of Manchester.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're homosexual, dressed like men dressed like women, you get all the rights in the world.
That's unreal.
Have at it, you know. What? Look what it says here. They shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You know what time it is. Amen? Ye are all the children of light. Oh, I'm so glad of that. And the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch. Watch for what? The coming of the Lord, right? We need to be watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They're in darkness. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, Christian, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Why? Verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. When is the wrath of God going to fall? When's the wrath of God going to fall on this earth? During the tribulation, right? He says, you are not appointed to that time period. You're going to be raptured out of here before it begins. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that. I'm so glad, folks, if you rightly understand the scriptures and let the Holy Spirit interpret it for you, it's clear as can be. We're not appointed to that time period. We're the bride of Christ. It's called the day of the Lord. Go to Zephaniah. Old Testament. Got to move, folks. Zephaniah. And go to chapter 1. Zephaniah chapter 1. Just after Habakkuk. See, if I find that, I'd be all set. Zephaniah chapter 1. And just prior to Haggai. It's in the Old Testament. I'll give you a hint. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord. Tribulation period. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. See what he said? He said a big strong guy, mighty man, he's going to cry like a little girl during that time period. Why? Because of the wrath of God coming down on his head. Verse 15. That day is a day of what? Yeah. Wrath. It's not a day of rejoicing. It's a day of wrath. A day of trouble and distress. A day of wasteness and desolation. A day of darkness and gloominess. A day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men. And this is God talking, folks. And that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord. See it? In the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land, the whole earth, shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Folks, listen to me. This time period is going to be horrific. And I say, get saved today if you're not saved. Because you don't want to be on planet Earth when this takes place. It's called the day of the Lord in Joel. Flip back from Zephaniah to the book of Joel. Just before Amos, you'll find Joel. And go to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. That's Jerusalem. And let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. Why? For the day of the Lord cometh. For it is nigh at hand. As a day of darkness and of gloominess. A day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. He says the day of the Lord is a time of darkness and gloom and wrath. It's also called, not only the day of the Lord, it's called the time of Jacob's trouble. Go to Jeremiah. Go back from Joel, back before Ezekiel, to Jeremiah. Chapter number 30. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. I'm going to show you why. In chapter 30 of Jeremiah, Look with me at verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write thee all these words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah. And saith the Lord, I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it." Now, what land is that that Israel is going to return to? Israel, their own land, right? This began in 1948 when the United Nations declared Israel a nation again. They began to regather to their own land. It's been happening ever since, right? And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great. What day? That none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. You see what he says? He's pointing prophetically to the 7-year tribulation period. He said it's the time of Jacob, that's Israel's trouble. Yeah, yeah, the Antichrist is going to bring all armies of planet Earth against Israel. They're going to surround Jerusalem, millions and millions of soldiers. They'd have no human way of getting out of it unless God comes down. And he will. When he hears their voice cry out for their Messiah, he will come and save them out of it, verse 7 says. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, of hosts, that's a military term, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck. Time out, church. In verse number 8, who is his yoke? Who's God speaking of there? Who's got Israel in bondage during the tribulation period? Think.
Antichrist.
The Lord says, I'm going to come down and I'm going to deal with Antichrist. I'm going to put him down. And when he does, he's never rising again. Amen? He says, look at verse 8. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, I will break his yoke from off thy neck and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, the Antichrist. But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. David's going to be resurrected, and David will sit as prince over Israel during the 1,000-year millennium. Incredible stuff here. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. Something else. It's called Daniel's 70th week. Go with me to the book of Daniel. Go forward past Ezekiel to the book of Daniel. And go to Daniel chapter 9. Now, right now, by way of introduction, we're giving you names of the tribulation period in the Bible. Various names. It's called the Day of the Lord. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. Here in Daniel 9:27, look at it. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. And he, that's Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant, it's a 7-year peace treaty, which he will break, with many for 1 week, that's a week of years, 7 years. And in the midst of the week, that's 3.5 years in, he, Antichrist, shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, the temple worship in Jerusalem. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Notice the word 1 week in verse 27. That's Daniel's 70th week. That's another term for the tribulation period. It's called the tribulation, Deuteronomy. I got to move quick, folks. In Deuteronomy, if I'm ever going to get done, chapter 4. Deuteronomy, chapter number 4. Look with me here at verse 27. And the Lord shall scatter you, Israel, among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number amongst the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. You know that Israel today is the lowest populated nation on earth? There's only 18 million Jews worldwide, including all of the 7 million in Israel itself. They're the lowest population of any people group on earth. Look what he says. And ye shall be...
They get the smallest piece of land.
Yeah, I know. The whole world wants it, right? There's something to that. Look at that, verse 27. And the Lord shall scatter you amongst the nations, and they are, and ye shall be left few in number amongst the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there shall ye serve gods, the works of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear, nor eat nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. Oh, I love this promise. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, they will. They will. When thou art in what?
Tribulation.
Tribulation. He says, when you guys find yourself in the tribulation period, call upon me and I'll save you. Look at it. Verse 29. Verse 30. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days. That's these days we're living in, folks. If thou turn to the Lord thy God, they will. And shall obey his voice, they will. For the Lord thy God is merciful. Merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. Notice that it's all based upon the Abrahamic covenant. He says, I want to keep my promise to your first father, Abraham. He was the first Jew. And he promised Abraham a land, a kingdom, and a king, and a throne. And he's going to fulfill that promise after they call upon him. It's called the tribulation. It's called the indignation. Isaiah. Go with me over to Isaiah, chapter 26 of Isaiah. It's called the indignation. 26. Incredible stuff. In Isaiah 26, look with me at verse 20. Come, my people, that's speaking of the Jews, Israel. Now, the problem you have today, folks, your replacement theologians say, oh, that's the church.
Yeah.
That's the church. No, it's not. Look what he says. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the what?
Indignation.
The indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place. Where's that? Heaven. To what? Punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. He says when the Lord comes back, it's going to be the time of indignation. And he's going to punish all inhabitants of the earth for rejecting his son. Oh, folks, we're so close to this time. It's also called the Day of Vengeance, Isaiah 34. Flip over a few pages to Isaiah 34, the Day of Vengeance. Listen, he's going to take vengeance on the Antichrist and all his evil hordes, all his fallen demon angels, all his evil armies. He's going to take vengeance on them. Look at this, for how they treated Israel. Watch, chapter 34, verse 6. The sword of the Lord. He's coming back with a sword, folks. Not to die on a cross, but to minister vengeance. Look at it. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness and with the blood of lambs and goats. That's people. And the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah. That's southern Jordan. And a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. That's where the Antichrist will surround God's people. The elect nation. And the unicorn shall come down with them. And the bullocks, and with the bulls, this is God's description of certain people. They're like beasts and animals. And they shall be soaked with, you know, these punks over there? ISIS, beheading people?
Yeah.
That wait till the Lord comes back. He's going to take care of them real quick. Watch it. And shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. Why? Verse 8. For it is the day of the Lord's
vengeance.
Vengeance. Thank you, sister. It's not the day of the Lord's blessing. It's the day of the Lord's vengeance upon all these terrorists and wicked evildoers of the world. Like Putin invading Ukraine. Not going to be no more of that. It is the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. Now, if you're still in Isaiah chapter 34, go to chapter 35 and look at verse 4. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense, he will come and save you. He says to the Jews, don't be afraid. I'm going to come down and I'm going to deal with all your enemies. Just trust me. Amen? And that's what we need to do today in our lives is trust the Lord each and every day. Times are getting bad, but He's in control. All right. In the New Testament, it's called the Great Tribulation. Look with me in Matthew chapter 24. Quickly. Matthew chapter 24. Let me just tell you, Matthew 24 is a day of the Lord passage. It's a tribulation period context. Clearly, you can't miss that unless you do so on purpose, like the replacement theologians. Look in chapter 24, verse 13 of Matthew. Words in red means who's talking?
Jesus.
Jesus. When Jesus speaks, we need to listen. Amen? 13. But he that shall endure unto the end. End of what?
Tribulation.
Right. Not the end of your life. The end of the tribulation period. The same shall be saved. Go into the millennium. And this gospel of the what?
Kingdom.
Not the gospel of grace. They're preaching the gospel of the kingdom during the tribulation period. They're saying, Jesus Christ, listen, they're telling the world, Jesus Christ is coming down at the end of this 7-year period. He's going to set up a kingdom over all the world. Do you want to be a part of it? Do you want to be a part of it? And the people will have to make a decision. And if they want to be a part of it, number one, they can't take the mark of the beast.
That's right.
Anyone who takes the mark of the beast is damned forever. Number two, they cannot worship the Antichrist, the beast. And number three, they have to hold out faithful. They have to trust Jesus Christ like you and I are. And they also have to hold out faithful to Him till the end of the tribulation period.
Now, will the Holy Spirit be with those people or will they... be on their own.
The Holy Spirit will be with those people, but not in. They're not born again, sealed like we are, because the age of grace is done. See, right now it's easy to get saved and born again.
The Holy Ghost is holding evil back right now.
Yes, when He's taken out of the way, all
so those
evil.
Those people that don't take the mark, the Holy Ghost will be with them. Is that what you're saying?
Hmm.
The Holy Ghost will be with those people that don't take the mark.
Oh, yeah. That's what I said. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit will be with them. But you know, in the Old Testament, when a person was a true believer, the Holy Spirit would come and go. But the Holy Spirit never entered into them. The Holy Spirit is in us today because we're born of the Spirit. He indwells us because we're true believers. During the tribulation period, the answer to your question is no. He won't indwell them because it's not being saved by grace like we are.
Okay.
Grace plus works. Not taking the mark is a work, right? We don't have any works for our salvation. Total faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. All right, I got to fly, guys. Look with me here in Matthew 24. And this gospel of the kingdom, verse 14, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. The end of what? Tribulation period. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, that's the Antichrist sitting in the temple of God, declaring himself to be Jesus Christ. And the whole world will believe it. Because he's going to have miracle working power. Look at it. Spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, the temple. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. It's going to get real bad at this point. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that be with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Notice that whenever this time period is he's speaking of, the Sabbath is in effect. The Sabbath is not in effect right now. Nobody's supposed to keep the Sabbath today. We're in the age of grace. But once we get raptured out, guess what? God is dealing with Israel again, and the Sabbath should be celebrated during the tribulation period. For then shall be great what?
Tribulation.
Tribulation! Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. He says, look, there's going to be a time of tribulation like never before in the history of the world. Look at verse 22. And except those days, the 7-year period, tribulation, should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Time out. In verse 22, who is the elect?
Israel.
It's Israel. It's the elect nation. You, child of God, are the elect bride. You're the bride of Christ. You're called the elect bride. Israel is not the elect bride. They are the elect nation. They're not spelt the same, right? Right? So they can't be the same. Now, if you don't have that straight, your theology would be all messed up. It's also called Great Tribulation. I've just got to give you these. Revelation 2:22, Revelation 7:14, Great Tribulation. It's called the Day of Wrath, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. It's called the Day of Wrath in Revelation 6:16, 11, 18, 15, 1, and 7, 14, 10, 19, 1, 6, and 1. All those references. I'll give you my notes if you want afterwards. You can look them up. It's called the Day of Wrath in all those references, okay? Why? Because it's the Day of Wrath. That's why. Secondly, tonight, folks, I've only scratched the surface here on the various names given in Scripture used by God's Spirit to describe the tribulation period. There's many, many more, but we don't have time. Secondly, tonight, quickly, let's look at the purpose for the tribulation period. Its purpose is threefold. Listen, first, to make an end of wickedness and wicked people. Wicked ones, we call them. Go to Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 13. The first purpose for the tribulation period is to bring an end to wickedness. And he will. He will. I read an excerpt to you last Sunday night on a satanic black mass they're holding in St. Louis. A satanic black mass, and the city has authorized it. They're renting the Civic Center. And they're allowing them to do it. They're going to pack out the Civic Center. They're charging so much per ticket. You know, you go to a ball game, you buy a ticket. Satanic black mass, buy your ticket, right? Unbelievable. He's going to put an end to that. All of it. Chapter 13 of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 13. Verse. Wonder why America's coming under judgment of God? Look in chapter 13 at verse 4. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people. A tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. Why, Isaiah? The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. Notice, it says that God is gathering all of the armies of the world together. Why? Verse 5. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation. To what? Destroy. He's coming to destroy the wicked. He's not coming to play tiddlywinks, folks, or have a tea party. Whoa. He's coming, amen. He's coming to wreak havoc on the, yeah. He's coming to pour out his wrath upon the wicked. Verse 6, hallow ye for the day of the Lord. There it is again. The day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint and every man's heart shall melt. Why? They shall be afraid. Why? Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, here's the reason why. The day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the what?
Sinners.
The sinners, that's unrepentant sinners. We're all sinners, but there's either you're either a repentant sinner or an unrepentant. He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it, for the stars of heaven shall fall. Folks, when he comes for the tribulation period, his first purpose is to destroy all the wicked. Why? What's he going to do after the tribulation period? He's going to set up what?
His kingdom.
His kingdom on earth. How lovely and blessed would the millennial kingdom be if you got these ISIS terrorists running around cutting people's heads off? Not very, right? So he's going to get rid of those ones. All the wicked is going to be destroyed during the tribulation period. There's a second purpose. There's a second purpose, and I like this. The second purpose of the tribulation period is to bring about a worldwide revival. Amen? Revelation. Go with me, just turn to the last book of your Bible. You'll be there. Revelation chapter number 7. Oh, this is good. Did you know that the greatest revival the world has ever seen hasn't taken place yet? You know when it's going to occur? During the tribulation period. Look at me in chapter 7. Look at verse number 1. Revelation 7, 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing in the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, until we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, he names them of the tribe of Judah, of the tribe of Zebulun, of the tribe of Dan, of the tribe of Naphtali. 12,000 per tribe. They're full-blooded Jews who receive Messiah. They believe on Jesus Christ like you and me. They get saved during the tribulation period, and then they go all over the world preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Okay? The gospel of the kingdom. Why? Because they're going to bring, these 144,000 preachers, they're going to bring a worldwide revival like you've never seen in your life. Sad part is all those people that get saved through their preaching, they trust in Jesus Christ and they refuse the mark of the beast, most of them will be beheaded, the Bible says. Isn't it interesting that these terrorists are now beheading people?
Yeah.
You know what it says in the book of Revelation? They'll be beheading people. God is so far ahead of this world. They're trying to catch up to God. Why? Because he knows the end from the beginning. But this is what's going to occur. Because of their faith in Jesus Christ and their refusal to accept Antichrist, they'll be martyred. They'll be killed by the millions during the tribulation period. But they're going to be in the millennium. They're going to be in the kingdom, glory to God. Right now, we don't have to worry about any of that. We're saved by grace. We're going to get raptured out. Chapter 7, look at verse 9. After this I beheld. After what? After the preaching of the 144,000. Look at it. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb. This is their souls. They're in heaven. And palms in their heads. Where'd they come from? Who are these people? Let's continue to read. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and under the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne of their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? Notice the question in verse 13. Who are these people? Where'd they come from? Verse 14. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These people, according to the angel in verse 14, are all the people who got saved during the tribulation period from the preaching of the 144,000 Jews. A great multitude no man could number. Amen? Glory to God, folks. It's going to be such a revival as the world has never seen. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. I love it. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from your eyes. I'm so glad of that. No more heartache, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more cancer, none of that. Glory to God. It's going to be the greatest revival the world has ever seen. But finally, there's a third purpose. A third purpose. Well, not quite finally. But there's a third purpose for the tribulation period, and that is to break the stubborn will of the elect nation Israel and to bring them to national regeneration. Go to Daniel chapter 5. God knows what it will take for a man to get saved. He also knows what it will take for a nation to come to Him. And they will. Because what they are going to go through, beloved, during the tribulation period is absolutely horrific. Look with me in Daniel chapter number 12. Verse number 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two angels, one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? It says, when is this tribulation period going to end? Verse 7, and I heard the man, clothed in linen, it's an angel, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time. Now, time out, before we continue reading. What period of time is that? A time in the Bible is 1 year, right? Times would be, come on, class. It's pretty simple. I wrote my son in the calculus major. Time, 1 year. Times, 2 years. Half a time.
3.5 years.
3.5 years. Guess how long the Great Tribulation period will last? 3.5 years. Because it won't begin till the mid-trib, the middle of that 7 years, when Antichrist breaks the covenant with Israel. Look at it. For a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, that's Israel, all these things shall be finished. Now, here's what I want you to see. It says in verse 7 that during the great tribulation period, the Lord will break the power of the holy people. That's the elect nation Israel. It's going to take the plagues, which we'll be getting into in great detail in the weeks ahead. The plagues of the tribulation period upon Israel will break their will. They will finally look up to Jesus Christ and say, you know what? We were wrong 2,000 years ago. We need our Messiah. We need our Savior. And they will cry out to him nationally. And he will come and rescue them. But he says here, that's what it will take to scatter the power, to break the power, the stubborn will of the holy people. Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel, quickly. Ezekiel chapter number 20. We'll see it again before we move on to our final point. Ezekiel chapter 20. Look with me at verse 33. Verse 33, we read, as I live, saith the Lord God. When you see that wording in the Bible, you better pay attention. Because the Lord says, as sure as I'm alive, you better listen to what I'm going to say. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely, I like that, with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out, will I rule over you, Israel. And I will bring you out from the people, that's the elect nation, and will gather you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered, Jews. And with a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out. When's that going to happen, somebody? During the what? Tribulation period. You got it. Verse 35. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you, face to face. Messiah is going to plead with Israel to receive him. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. You remember that? Coming out through the Red Sea, out of Egypt. So will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod. That's a rod of correction. And I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. Look at verse 37. And somebody tell me, what covenant is he speaking of? Think. What covenant is God going to make with them at the end of the tribulation period? Begins with an N. Got it. Ellie said it. The new covenant with Israel. Look at it. I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. Now notice that this is unconditional. God says, this is something I'm going to do. I'm going to bring you to your knees, whether you like it or not. Verse 38, and I will purge out from among you, Israel, the rebels. See that? Every Jew who refuses to receive Jesus Christ as their Messiah, Savior, Lord, and King, will be purged out during the tribulation period. This is one of the purposes of the tribulation, to purge out the rebels. Look at it, the rebels, and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, the kingdom, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. This is a purpose of the tribulation period, to bring them. Listen, here is the reason for the regathering of the Jews to the Holy Land, so that God can enter into a time of judgment upon them, purging out all of the rebellious Jews. Finally tonight, thirdly, we've seen the various names given the tribulation period. We've seen the threefold purpose of the tribulation period. But finally tonight, let's look at some biblical descriptions of the tribulation period. First, it is described as a time of utter desolation. Isaiah 24. Utter desolation. Not good. In Isaiah chapter 24. Look at this. Verse 1. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste. It turneth it upside down. It scattereth abroad like the inhabitants thereof. It shall be as with the people, so with the priest. As with the servant, so with his master. Drop down to verse 3. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled. For the Lord hath spoken this word. The earth mourneth, the whole earth, and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they transgressed the laws, changed the ordinances, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. There's going to be few survivors after this 7-year period. Look at it. Drop down with me to verse 9. They shall not drink wine with a strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up that no man may come in. You won't want to leave your house during this time period. The walking dead will be walking around out there. There is a crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. No joy. 12. In the city is left what?
Desolation.
It's described as a time of desolation. The gate is smitten with destruction. Thus it shall be in the midst of the land, amongst the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree. And the shaking of an olive tree, Israel's called the olive tree, he's going to shake it. And as the gleaning grapes, the vintage is done. It's a time of desolation. Ezekiel describes it. And secondly, it's described as the whole planet staggering like a drunkard man. Look in chapter 24, if you're still there, verse 19. Look at this, verse 19. The earth, the planet earth, is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it. It shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high. That's the demonic realm. He's going to punish them. See that? Look at it. Verse 21. And the kings of the earth upon the earth. You see, this tribulation period, folks, listen to me. Not only is God going to punish the earth, he's going to punish the demonic realm. They're getting their due as well. They're getting staggered. And notice how he describes the earth as staggering like a drunkard man. It's going to be railing to and fro. Nothing stable. Thirdly, it's described as a time when the faithful remnant will acknowledge God. Chapter 26, Isaiah 26. Look with me at verse number 8. The faithful remnant will acknowledge their God. 26. And verse number 8. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, judgments, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name, Messiah, and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, and yea, with my spirit have, look with me at verse 9. With my spirit within me will I seek thee early, for when thy judgments are in the earth, tribulation period, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. See, there's some people that just won't learn. No matter how bad it gets, they won't turn to God. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and he will not behold the majesty of the Lord. So he says here in verses 8 and 9, that some will acknowledge the Lord and seek him with the whole heart and soul. See that? And then in verse 10, he says, the wicked will not do it. No matter how hard God pushes them, they will not repent. Also a time of great martyrdom. Look at verse 20. It's going to be a time of huge numbers of martyrs being killed for their faith. We read that. And it says they're going to be martyred in verse 20. Come into their chambers. That's their physical bodies being buried. Fourthly, it is described as a time of great terror. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. It's a time of great terror. And look with me at verse number 20. In that day, it's the day of the Lord, tribulation period, a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks. They're looking for a cave to hide in. For fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth, he'll do it during the tribulation. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. He can't help you. For where is he to be accounted of? It's a time of great terror. Fifthly, it's described of it as a time of unparalleled destruction on the Middle East nation. Look at me in Ezekiel chapter 30. Ezekiel chapter 30. A time of unparalleled destruction upon the Middle East. That's where the Antichrist armies are going to gather. Oh yeah. Ezekiel chapter 30. Almost done, folks. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God, howl ye, woe worth the day, for the day is near. Folks, Ezekiel wrote this 2,500 years ago. How much nearer is the day of the Lord for us today? It's right on top of us. It's right about to happen. Look at it. Verse 3. The day is near, even the day of the Lord is near, a cloudy day. It shall be the time of the heathen. He's going to be dealing with the whole world. And the sword shall come down upon Egypt, great pain in Ethiopia. He's naming Middle Eastern Arab nations here. And he's saying they're going to suffer tremendous destruction in the Middle East. Verse number 7, they shall be desolate in the midst of the countries that are desolate, and her cities shall be in the midst of the cities that are wasted, and they shall know. Finally, those Arabs are going to know something. Look at it. They shall know that I am the Lord when I have set a fire in Egypt, and when all her helpers shall be destroyed. All of the unholy, evil alliance of those Arab nations with Egypt, they'll be destroyed. And then they'll know they should have listened to God. They should have believed in his son. In that day shall messengers go forth from me in ships to make the careless Ethiopians afraid. And great pain shall come upon them as in the day of Egypt. For lo, it cometh. Notice in verse 9, he says, as in the day of Egypt. What happened down in Egypt when the children of Israel were in bondage to Pharaoh? Didn't God...
Pharaoh's heart.
10 plagues, right. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he dumped out 10 plagues upon the Egyptians. He says, that's how it's going to be. As in the days of Egypt, when I judged Egypt. He's going to do it again. He's going to do it all over the world. Sixthly, finally, almost finally, it is described as a time of great famine. Look in Joel. Joel chapter 1. A time of great famine. Just after Hosea. Joel chapter 1, look at verse 15. Alas for the day, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. It's not the meat cut off before our eyes. Listen, folks, I'm not going to take time to read verse 20. You can do it yourself. This is talking about during the tribulation period, you won't have food to eat. If you don't take that mark of Antichrist, you don't eat. No food for you. See, you're going to bribe people. And don't you know they'll line up? You know, Obama will be the first in line. Take my mark. I want to eat. No, because you take that mark and your soul is damned forever. But it says here a great famine during the tribulation period. Why? Because Antichrist will control all of the food storehouses. And he will say who eats and who doesn't during the tribulation period. I'm serious, folks. This is what the Bible says. And finally, it is described as a time of elimination for all of the enemies of the elect nation Israel. Obadiah, we'll finish up here. Go forward from Joel, past Amos, to Obadiah, just before Jonah. Notice this. Every enemy of Israel is going to be destroyed. Look at this. Obadiah, verse 10, chapter of your choice. For thy violence He's talking to the Arabs here. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob. Who was Jacob's brother in the Bible? A man named
Esau.
Esau married the daughter of Ishmael. Ishmael was the son of Hagar. And they became 12 Arab nations. I don't have time to take you there. They became 12 Arab nations, which today still surround Israel. And they all want Israel, right? Look what's going to happen to these guys. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, that's Israel, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, Israel's, when Nebuchadnezzar came, and foreigners entered into his gates, Jerusalem, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. He says, you Arabs, you acted just like the enemies of Israel, Nebuchadnezzar, when he took them into captivity. But, verse 12, thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother, Israel, in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of their distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people, Israel, in the day of their calamity, Nebuchadnezzar's armies. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance. Remember they took all the gold from the temple? They took even the pillars of brass. They took it all, the utensils, the gold forks, all to Babylon in the day of their calamity. 14, neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his, Israel, that did escape. They were saying, hey, Nebuchadnezzar, here's another Jew over here. Come and kill him. See? They were giving them up. And neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord, verse 15, shifts ahead 2,700 years. The Holy Spirit just went from the day of Nebuchadnezzar taking Israel captive to today. The day of the Lord, which is about to come on planet Earth. Look at it. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, Israel, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink and they shall swallow down and they shall be as though they had not been. It's going to destroy them all. Verse 17, but upon Mount Zion, in Jerusalem, shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, millennial kingdom. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau, the Arabs, for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall be not any remaining of the house of Esau, the Arab enemies of Israel, for the Lord has spoken it. The Lord has spoken it. Beloved, this day is described as a time of elimination for all enemies of Israel. In closing tonight, beloved, we may clearly see from umpteen passages of Scripture that clearly the tribulation period will be a time of universal darkness, torment, anguish, turmoil, confusion, death, and massive destruction worldwide. And these are strong reasons why one should come to Jesus Christ today and avoid being found in the tribulation period. Father in heaven, how we thank you. We thank you tonight, Lord, for the word of God. We thank you tonight, Lord, that we know these things before they do occur, because we believe the Bible. We have called upon Jesus Christ and received his Holy Spirit, who instructs us in these truths. Lord, I'm so thankful tonight that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm so thankful tonight, Lord, that I'm a whosoever, and that on October 3rd in 1986, I called upon the name of the Lord Jesus and he saved me. I'm so grateful that my sins are washed away in the blood of Christ. The Holy Spirit indwells me and I have, present tense, eternal life. I'm so thankful that I and all those who know Jesus will never experience the severity of the destruction and punishment of the tribulation period. I'm so grateful for that tonight, Lord, because it's about to occur on planet Earth. Lord, because we know these things, we are accountable to you and responsible before you to warn the lost that this day is coming. The tribulation period, the Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet, it's all coming on planet Earth soon and very soon. And if you're not saved, you will be found in the middle of this horrific time period. Lord, I just pray tonight for souls that may be hearing this message through the website even, that they would call upon Jesus Christ and escape the wrath to come. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord, folks. Let's stand tonight and grab your hymnal. We will close with a hymn tonight. And a very appropriate hymn at that. Go with me to hymn 52. I think you'll like it. Hymn 52 says it all. There is victory. Amen? But it's only found in one place. His name is Jesus Christ. Victory. We'll sing all three. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sing it to the Lord. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath that cleansing blood. On the second, I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, yeah, Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus brought to me that victory. Everybody now, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Amen. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath that cleansing blood. Before we sing the third, every head bowed and every eye closed for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you tonight for the message. Thank you that we know these things are coming upon planet Earth, and we know where to find the Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. By an uplifted hand, someone may be here tonight and you've never been born again. You've never been saved by the blood from your sins. By an uplifted hand, you say, Pastor, pray for me. I don't know Jesus as my Savior yet, but I want to. Anybody like that at all? Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your Holy Spirit right now speaking to hearts concerning their personal need of thee. And Lord, I thank you that those of us who are saved, that Lord, we need Jesus in our lives today more than ever before, because the world is growing darker and darker. Lord, we're so grateful for the shining light of Jesus Christ that we carry about, the Holy Spirit of God, where'er we go. We love you and we thank you for it, Lord. And I pray tonight that, Lord, you would continue to seek and save that which is lost. That you would continue sending your Holy Spirit to lovingly bring those lost souls that need salvation to the bleeding side of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, that those who do will never regret it. The greatest thing that can ever happen in a human being's life is to find Jesus, to fall madly in love with Jesus, and to learn all about His glory and love. We thank you for that tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. On the third, I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. Amen. I heard the angels singing and the old redemption story. Then some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of the victory. Everybody now. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Oh, praise the Lord. Remain standing for prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Kyle to dismiss us, and if you can join us Wednesday night, we'll be here at 7 o'clock for our midweek Bible study / prayer meeting. I love that service because we pray with each other for each other's needs, and God answers. Amen, brother? God answers. Brother Kyle, dismiss us in prayer.
We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to study your word, to have it explained and gone through, and just to go through it so thoroughly, Lord, that there's no question as to what your meaning is. We thank you for making this clear to us, for giving us the understanding of it, Lord, and to help us to understand exactly what it is you have of us for our lives, Lord. We pray you walk with and guide us and help us through this world we're in, and keep us in the pitfalls of this world, Lord, and walking steadfastly with you. I ask you now to guide us, to walk with and guide us as we go through our week, to help us along our way, Lord, and to bring us back to study again coming Wednesday. And we ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Lord bless you.